Welcome to Farms Advice Agribusiness Podcast, the podcast for agribusinesses wanting to grow through finding the right opportunities and linking up with the right technology. We will be connecting you with the stories from across the sectors, leaving you with the tools and knowledge to implement into your own business. Follow us on our social media accounts at Farms Advice for further motivation to grow your enterprise. This week on the Farms Advice Agribusiness Podcast, we'll be sitting down with Martin Murray, better known as Muzz, speaking to him about his experiences within Australian agriculture and specifically as an agronomist in central New South Wales. G'day Martin, how you going mate?
Good Jack, what about yourself?
Yeah, excellent mate, fantastic to have you on the show today. So we'll just go through and talk a bit about yourself and how you got into Australian agriculture as an agronomist. To kickstart the show, whereabouts are you based?
I'm based out at Armatree these days in sort of central west New South Wales. We're about an hour north of Dubbo. It's probably the easiest way to describe us.
Yeah, and how far does your coverage span? Where do you get to see?
So I really just check a fairly condensed area. Probably operate within about a 50K radius of Armatree. Yeah, it's quite a nice little cropping zone. We're just nestled there, just west of the Warren Bungles, which tends to act as a bit of a rain shadow and just, seems to make the area fairly productive, even through the last few years.
Yeah, you're coming into a bit of a wetter season than the last couple of years.
Yeah, no, it's, we set a low bar for ourselves the last few years, but we're definitely in front now. Last year was our lowest rainfall year on record. At home, we got about 140 mils there. We've now got, I couldn't actually tell you the total now, but I think it's over 400. We're only about halfway through the year, so things are looking pretty good at the moment.
Yeah, I think we've had our yearly rainfall in the first 4 months of the year, just below Dubbo there.
Well, that's where we got the bulk of it, just in those first 3 months.
Yeah, fantastic. So we'll just go through, introduce yourself and like your own story and where you've come from and where you've like how you've ended up being an agro out there near Armatree.
Yeah, no, it's so basically I grew up on a family farm down at Carrathool. We had rice and sheep down there. Trouble with rice is it grows in water, and so yeah, 7 years of drought didn't do much for us.
I bet.
So we sold up in 2003 and moved up to Moree, where my old man got a job in town. But since that, we've always tried to maintain a connection with farming. And at 16, the legal age to work over here, I got a job on a farm during school holidays and carried that through to university break. So it was a cotton farm. It was reasonably varied work, bit of checking motors, driving tractors, starting siphons was the main one. From there, passion just really grew. After school, I went up to the Territory for a year and had a cracking time up there on Humbert River Station. And it was just a brilliant time. Like, I cannot stress that enough. We just had a lot of fun. Every day was a new adventure, whether you're checking a fence line in the middle of nowhere or you're chasing wild cattle with a chopper flying 3 feet above your head. It was a good time all around.
It's pretty eye-opening up there. You didn't want to continue down the livestock route? It's a bit different to being an agro.
Yeah, no, well, I guess cropping's always mainly been my focus.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I just find if I'm around cattle all the time, I get frustrated and you go, geez, those wheat crops, you don't have to catch them. They don't run, they don't bust fences, they don't do anything of that. After my year in the Territory, went back to Armidale for university at the University of New England there, where I did what's now called Oh, I'm trying to think of what they now call it. It was called Agri-Food Systems when I did it, but I think it's now called a Bachelor of Farm Production or Farm Management.
Oh, it's changed over.
Yeah. They changed the name of the degree just before I graduated, actually, because I had enrolled under the old name. That was what my degree came up as.
Yeah.
After that, went down to Carrathool, worked on a place there for 6 months. I'd done the previous cotton season with them during my uni break.
This is working as an agro or?
No, this is working on farm. So I was the assistant cropping manager, which sort of translated into night shift everything.
So how'd you get that gig? Just knowing someone down there or?
Well, it was a bit of a fluke. I'd originally, so this was before I finished uni. I'd applied to go to where I normally worked in the uni holidays, and they just said, look, we can only do a couple of days a week. There's not a lot of water. We don't have a lot of crop, and that is the trouble with irrigation. If you don't have the water, you don't have the crop, you don't have the work. And so I said, oh, look, thanks, but I really need something more than a couple of days. Applied to a job on the land, said irrigator wanted. Sent through my resume, did an interview over the phone, and they said, righto, you've got the job. I said, awesome, but where am I going?
Yeah.
You can sort of tell from the phone number it's down around Griffith, but yeah. And turns out it was actually my family farm. It was one of about three properties that they owned. The people that we'd sold it to had sold it onto them. So it was a bit of a trip down memory lane in a way.
It's pretty nuts. You would have known the inside and out of down there then.
Yeah, well, it changed a bit. Things had changed around. They'd sort of squared up a few paddocks, made things a bit more efficient, and they'd converted from rice to cotton and were doing rather well out of it.
Did they go dry then or were they irrigated?
No, irrigated. It really doesn't have the rainfall down there to support dryland cotton in particular. There's just no summer rainfall. It's a real winter-dominated area.
Yeah.
And it's actually been quite interesting to see that area change. It sort of went from rice to cotton, and now it's going into almonds fairly heavily. That whole Riverina is just a hive of activity. Anyway, after I finished uni, I spent another season there. And then at the end of that season, I thought I should really be getting more into agronomy and doing what I'd sort of trained to do at uni, and applied to a job up on the Liverpool Plains with Amps Commercial.
Yep.
Doing pasture and forage agronomy along with a bit of cotton TSP work, and really fell on my feet. And 4 years later, nearly four and a half, still with Amps, but I've moved out to Armatree, doing mainly broadacre agronomy out here, but with a little bit of pasture stuff on the side.
With first joining as an agro, you're the bottom feeder, and like you go up as a graduate, or like how do they step out your career? Or you just go fully into the paddock and then start telling people what's going on?
No. So they pair you up with a more experienced agronomist.
Yeah.
And you go from there. When I started, that was with a fellow by the name of Adrian Dryden, because I was doing pasture and forage work. He spent a lot of time in the pasture game working for a seed company prior to his time at Amps. And so I spent a fair bit of time going around with him, you know, learning the chemicals, learning the rates, learning the weeds, learning the conditions that you use everything under, and sort of went from there. And from that, once we're getting a bit more into the broadacre cropping space, our chief agronomist, Tony Lockery from up at Moree, as the fellow that we bounced off, worked off him a fair bit, and still query him for advice. We've got a, you know, internal chat group, as I'm sure most companies do. And, if we're unsure of anything, we run it through there just to make sure we're providing the best service that we can.
Yeah, that's perfect. So it's pretty much like you've got a mentor right the way through. as an agro?
Yeah, correct, correct. It's really a mentorship thing. I mean, I guess university gives you a good background understanding.
Yep.
But it really doesn't prepare you for the day-to-day job of an agronomist, which, you know, it makes sense. So you need that mentor to guide you through.
Yeah. With your degree, do you think you'd be able to be an agro without a degree, or they're always looking for someone coming out as a graduate?
It's an interesting one because, I mean, I believe you could. I believe if you were trained and mentored by the right individuals, you could quite easily be a very good agronomist without having a degree. But in terms of getting that first job and getting yourself in the door, you do need that degree. It's what employers are looking for.
Yeah. Was it pretty competitive, or like getting into the agro side of things? There's a few going for it straight after uni, especially from UNE.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a really interesting one because getting that first job, that's the difficult bit. It's really hard, really competitive to get that first job. Get that graduate and agronomist type position. But once you've got 3 or 4 years under your belt, it's open slather. You get recruiters hitting up on LinkedIn all the time. Agronomists are in really, really high demand. So if you can stick out those first few years, you can pretty well go wherever you want. You're bound to find a job there.
Yeah, excellent. For yourself, you use LinkedIn to create your own voice, and I saw you got a TikTok kicking off.
Yeah. So I've used a range of things, social media, bit of Instagram, bit of Facebook, of course, LinkedIn, and just the last few weeks, I've sort of kicked off a bit of a TikTok account. It's an interesting one. It's not something I'd heard of it, and I'd never really had much to do with it. And I was listening to a podcast by Gary V, and he keeps banging on saying you got to be on TikTok. And I thought, oh, bugger it, why not?
I bet he didn't think he'd reach out to like an Aggie like yourself.
Yeah, no, I don't think he would have. Thought he would get out this far, but it's amazing to see how many farmers are actually on it.
There's this one bloke that he yells at the alpaca. Patrick, have you seen that one?
Down in Victoria. Seen Mally Boy.
Yeah, Mally Boy. If you're looking to find Martin, you can find him at Martin Murray Ag on TikTok. You got a few views there on How's the Serenity, the last one.
That one went surprisingly well. Just for, a bit of a view from the top of a hill.
Yeah, it's good to get that out there, mix it up. And then also for people wanting to get into ag, looks like it's a lot more fun than what people can perceive it to be. It's not always hard manual work. You can get it on there and have your own voice within ag.
No, that's it. No, I mean, obviously this is a podcast, but anyone who's seen me knows I haven't done a lot of hard manual work in a fair while. Been packing them on.
Bit of driving the ute around.
No, a bit too much of driving the ute around. But yeah, you'll get the vibe from it that, it's fairly varied. Cover a bit of the country. And just see a range of environments, range of crops, and just a range of amazing sites. As I said, we're nestled in the Warren Bungles, and one of my favourite paddocks to go check is just in the foothills. The view is just amazing. I think you'll see it in one of my earliest videos there on TikTok.
Yeah, I'll have to get in and have a look. That's the job I've always wanted, is to get around, travel, see different parts, and see what everyone else is up to. This is how I thought the podcast would run, combining a bit of a mixture of everyone coming together just to have the one voice, so you can go to the one spot to listen to everything. At the moment for yourself, what's the biggest challenge as an agro for you personally, or even AMPS coming through a drought? Or
I think the biggest challenge is just to make sure everyone has the best year that they can at the moment. As I said, last year was our lowest rainfall year on record. The 2 years before weren't much better. Now that we've had a bit of rain, everyone's got a crop in. We really just want to get on top of things and make sure everything goes as smoothly as possible. Pardon me. Because it is just essential for a lot of our growers. They've had a few really tough years and they really need a good crop. So that's what we're trying to work through at the moment. I guess technically speaking, if you like a few more agronomic issues, we've sort of seen a bit of herbicide resistance coming to light. In my area in particular, it seems to be ryegrass. Yeah, a bit of Roundup resistance. And it's just one of those things that has sort of snuck under the radar for the last few years. And yeah, now we've got rain, now everything's growing. We're scratching our heads finding out how many paddocks actually do have a bit of resistance in there.
Are you just finding that like with the ryegrass coming through, or is there other varieties? Like other weeds?
Yeah, mainly ryegrass in this area. Windmill grass is our other really hard to kill locally. It's a summer grass. It's closely related to Feathertop Roads and those out there, sort of Gundawindi, Darling Downs, Moree, who've had a bit to do with Feathertop Roads, will know what a pain it can be to kill. But yeah, we've known about that one for a while. It's just really ryegrass that's sort of come out of the woodwork just lately.
What's the like farmers thinking of it as, like, over in Europe, they're looking to ban glyphosate. Well, they were, and then we came into this COVID and Brexit and whatnot. What's, like, they're thinking of it all? Are they looking to get away from the chemicals that could be damaging the soils under?
Look, I think the evidence on and the science behind glyphosate is pretty clear cut that it is one of the safest, if not the safest, chemical we have available. I've got full certainty that it's not a detriment to our farming systems. The biggest worry with glyphosate for us is weed resistance to glyphosate, which comes back to us from an over-reliance on it. But I think the lessons have been learnt, and we now work to double knock weeds, rotate our actives, all those sort of things that help prevent, build up herbicide resistance.
Yeah, so they're using it more for like no-till or?
Yeah, for no-till. Yeah. And that's the other important thing. Like the Australian farming system is really a moisture-limited system. We could not farm and get the yields that we get without no-till. And for that to happen, well, we can't till. We can't work the soil. We need to rely on herbicides to control weeds, to manage moisture and store as much moisture as we can in the profile so that when we sow a crop, we know we're going to get a good crop. It's just the nature of the beast. I know other places, like, say, the US, can rely on a fairly heavy snowfall, or Europe. I assume they get a snowfall there, and some areas just get fairly regular rainfall. But, we don't have that luxury. We've got to capitalise on every rain event that we can get and store as much moisture as we can get.
Yeah, absolutely. For yourself, have we missed like an important question that you'd like to answer, or like debunk a myth within ag, either personally or just within agronomy?
Is it like no, young person? I really don't have anything else to add, other than if you are a young person looking to get into ag, agronomy is a great career. It's just a great builder. It's a great launching pad. You can sort of go anywhere from it, whether you want to find your way back on farm, either working back on a family farm or for a corporate, or if you want to just pursue a career as a paddock agronomist, or branch out into research, sales, anything like that. A good solid background in agronomy will really get you there. And as I said, landing that first job can be tough, but once you get it and you've been in there that, 3 to 4 years, you can go anywhere.
Yeah, good place to test the waters.
Yeah, no, that's it.
So for having you on board, Martin, we're looking to do once a month or even a bit more frequent than what that is. So we're keen to have you on board for anyone looking to get a bit of an agro update from Farms Advice Agribusiness Podcast. It'd be excellent just to have that aspect added into the show. And then you can run through like the difficulties within that week or month that you've had and just the overview of what farmers are looking into.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. Really keen to be part of the program, part of the process.
Excellent. I look forward to hearing what you've learned as a young agronomist within your area. And for anyone that you'd like to have on Farms Advice Agribusiness Podcast, who would you recommend and why?
That's a good question. I mean, I'd actually, it might be a bit self-interested, but I'd really like to get, say, one of our growers or our head researcher on the show. And reason behind that is just, yeah, again, it's a bit self-serving, but the company I work for, basically the commercial side of the business, only works to generate revenue to fund research. We do a lot of privately funded research to benefit our growers, and it's all proper small plot replicated research work. And I'd just really like to get, yeah, either our head researcher on or one of our growers that have really benefited from the research, just to go over the importance of local farm-based research that you know will work, and ways that you can go about it, not even just say as a promotion for the company I work for, but just maybe to get other people thinking in other areas and have them think about what they can do locally to try and get on top of a bit of research in their area.
Yeah, absolutely. R&D is important for like the trials that you do. Do you do them yourself or?
Oh, I help out from time to time. But in terms of company-wise, we do them ourselves.
Yep.
We've got an entire dedicated team with all the gear, all the know-how, and they make it happen. That is their sole job, to run research trials. And I believe they got something called like 14,000 winner plots this year, scattered over 5 districts loosely, I guess.
Is that Tamworth, just to get varying like rainfall or?
It's to get localized data for growers in those areas. You know, each region has its own advantages and disadvantages, different soil types, different problems, and different solutions to those problems. So that's why we do it. Get localized results to help those growers in those areas.
Yeah, excellent. So how big are the trials? Are they small plots?
Yeah, so they're small plot trials.
Yep.
Replicated small plot. You'll get to a trial site. It'll have normally 3 or 4 ranges. So they're the rows. And then in those rows, there'll be 1.5 meter plots, and there could be 20 ranges across and by 4 rows, or there could be hundreds in the trial site. They're just, as I said, 1.5 meter plots, different varieties, different fertilizer treatments, different, say, growth promotants or canopy management, treatments. It's a bit elaborate to go into, but yeah.
Yeah. No, that's excellent. So for anyone wanting to contact you, like either through your company or your own social media, how can we find you?
Twitter, TikTok now, I guess, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. I'm sort of everywhere. I'm not too hard to find.
Yeah, excellent. So anything last that you'd like to get on here before we go?
Not really, mate. Loving the show so far. Best of luck with the rest of it, and I look forward to being part of it in the future.
Thanks, mate. We'll probably have you on... down a month down the line or something, and then we'll go from there, see how things are going, and just check in.
That sounds good.
No worries, thanks for joining us on the show, mate. Talk soon.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
follow Martin throughout the paddock on Twitter at Martin_Murray1. Catch all the show's notes at farmsadvice.com.au or on our social media channels at Farms Advice, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook. See you then.
Thank you for listening to the Farms Advice podcast. I hope that we can help you fill in the gaps of your business to help you grow into the future. If you'd like to get in touch, see how we can grow your agribusiness, please visit us at farmsadvice.com.au. Please share this podcast with your colleagues, friends and family to help us find the right audience to improve Australian agribusiness. Hope to see you next time. Cheers.